All right, good morning, Kailas. Morning, glad you're here this morning. I'm excited. It's an exciting day. Today's like our open house, and you know, the place we are going to, it used to be part of Hope Chapel, another church there, and they started like 30 years ago. So we invited the pastor of Hope Chapel, Pastor Dave Pokoroba. He's going to be there, and he's going to share, because it's an incredible story of how they first got into that facility. So he's going to share that, and some of his folks will be there too. So please greet them, say hello to them, get to know them. There'll be about a dozen, 15 of their folks there too, and they're going to be joining us this afternoon. But it's an exciting time. It's a great time. I feel like the Lord is doing a lot. There's a lot of energy, anticipation, and excitement in the air. But I have a couple of questions for us this morning. And the question is this: why this place and why now? Why this place and why now? And the reason for those, the answer to those two questions, I believe it's because we are in a Kairos moment. We are in a Kairos moment, which is being authored by Yahweh himself, by God himself, right? Kairos, maybe some of you have heard that term. You know, Eddie and Brittany Soriel, they named their second son Kairos. And so Kairos is a Greek term that's used in the Bible, and it means an appointed time for a special purpose. It's a Kairos moment. It's an appointed time by God for a special purpose. An example of a Kairos moment in the Bible is when Saul was on the road to Damascus, right? He was heading to Damascus to arrest, persecute, maybe even kill Christians. And he was supernaturally, miraculously met by the Lord, the risen Lord Jesus. In a voice and a light, he was miraculously met and completely turned his life around. He became a persecutor to the greatest evangelist probably of all time, right? And so that's a Kairos moment, a special appointed time by the Lord. Now, there's some important things to note about a Kairos moment. Here's some things. One, it's not measured by minutes or hours, by what is happening. So different circumstances that take place indicate, oh, this is a special moment from the Lord. Two, a key in describing Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry is filled with these Kairos moments, these appointed times where he was supposed to be at a certain place, at a certain time, talking to a certain people. For example, meeting the Samaritan woman, the woman at a well, right? That's a Kairos moment, especially appointed for God to do something special in that time. Well, with Jesus, probably every moment was a Kairos moment, right? Because he was perfectly aligned. But there's these special moments in time where God's doing something. Three, times when life-shaping decisions are made. So often in these moments, there's life-changing decisions, transformation, breakthroughs take place. Four, when God's divine providence intersects with seemingly simple acts of obedience by his people. And so we see this through the Bible. We see this through this facility. There is just these little acts of obedience, these little acts of following the Lord, and it unfolded. And as you'll hear a little bit later on this afternoon, if you're able to make it, you'll hear the story. And there were many of these God moments where God was doing things. Even in these delays, we've had many, because it's probably months ago I said, oh, we're hoping to sign the lease pretty soon. And then weeks and weeks and weeks. I feel like every one of those delays, God was doing something in those delays. And so it's pretty special. And five, this is one I want to highlight. Times when the Holy Spirit is present and moving in a person, situation, or group to accomplish some specific work for the advancement of the kingdom. This facility, us, God opening this place at this time, I believe it's this moment. The Holy Spirit is authoring something unique special with our church family in this place, in this time, for a special work he has planned for us. Special work to advance his kingdom. And so to these Kairos, things about Kairos and this Kairos moment, I say yes, 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 double yes. God's doing something significant here. And I believe that's why God has provided this facility. So if God's doing that, what do we need to do to respond? How do we embrace this moment so that we're in alignment with what God is doing? You know, I was thinking about this and praying about this, and it's been on my mind and on my heart for months and months and months. And the Lord kept bringing to me and brought to me this one passage in the Bible. It's from Matthew chapter 9. So let's look at it. We're going to read it. Matthew 9, 17. Jesus talking. He says this, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the old skins would burst from the pressure." You know, when you put wine into wineskins, and at that time, they didn't have bottles. They didn't put them in barrels. They put them in wineskins, usually probably goat skins, that they sewed together, they sealed, they pour the wine in. And because of the process of wine with the, I don't fully understand, but I know it's the wine and the grapes and the yeast and the juices, they ferment and it releases gases. And so while the wine is ripening, maturing in the wineskin, it expands. It expands and expands because these gases are being released. And so that's what happens. But once a wineskin is used, right? Once a wineskin is used and it's stretched out, you can't drink that wine and then put new wine in there because it won't stretch anymore and it will burst. That's what this is talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about. He says, you can't, for old wineskins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. Here's a picture of wine and wineskins, right? So that's on the right, that's the new wineskin. On the left, that's the old wineskin. That's an old wineskin that's been stretched and it gets rigid and kind of stiff, right? Well, I think for us as Catalysts, God is doing something new. He's doing something new. And so by this verse, it's important for us to, number one, identify what's the good wine, right? You can't use the old wineskin anymore, but you don't toss the wine, right? There's good stuff that happens in the wineskin. The wine is maturing. So in our church history, over the 18 years, it's like we are a wineskin. And the Lord was doing things in that wineskin. He was maturing us. And so what is that good wine that he wants us to retain? Because we don't toss that. All right? Secondly, what's the old wineskin? What's the old wineskin that he doesn't want us to use anymore? Because there's things that he's doing, that he will be doing as we move to this new facility, new things. And then this new, with these new things, the way we used to do things before, some of those things will not work in the new place, in the new season, in the new time. So what are the old wineskins we need to toss? And then what's the new wineskin? What's the new wine? What's the new thing that God's doing, going to do with our church? So I'm going to briefly talk about a few of these. First, what is the good wine that God has done over the 18 years? There's a few things that I thought of that came to my mind right now. Number one, identity in Christ. Know your identity in Christ. We don't want to toss that. I remember being on the stage of Stanford many times and said, knowing identity, we're going to war on this. We're going to speak about this, speak about this, speak about this, and even speak about this more until it becomes part of who we are. I see Penn kind of cringing over there because I remember after a few years, Penn came up to me and goes, okay, I know identity is important. Identity is important. It's good, but are we going to move on to something else? Are we going to move on to something else, right? And how many times did you take Pastor Sam's class, Pen? I'm not saying, okay. I think she took it four or five times, right? And because she knew, she was smart. Her spirit, she knew this is not something you could just hear once, because we could know the concept. Oh, we are sons and daughters. We are prince and princesses. We are holy and blameless. We are favored by the Lord. We can know all that in our head and still not live it, because it's not part of our hearts. There's some people been in our church for 18 years. I don't know how many messages they've heard on identity, right? And you could still hear it in their language. They don't have it here still. The way they talk about themselves, the way they look at things, the way they assess situations. We're all growing in that. So that's good one. We want to continue to grow in our identity in Christ. Secondly, focus on intimacy with God and two-way communication. Right? Intimacy with God. That's what life's all about. And when I say intimacy, I'm saying developing a personal, intimate, two-way communication with God Himself. We're having our Hearing God class right now. It's going on. Man, we just went through lesson 3, where they went and did their assignments, and the first 2 lessons, we focus on scriptures, and they read the scripture, and then they, what is God speaking to the scripture? The third assignment, it was just questions, like, ask God, how do you see me, God? Ask God, how do you feel about me? Ask God, when you think about me, what do you think about me? Things like that. It's hard, because it's learning a new skill, but some of the things I heard people say of what they got from God, I was like, literally, OMG. Oh my God. You heard that from God? And you know, they're just kind of saying it. Matter of fact, oh yeah, in my journal, this is what I got, blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh my God. That's so profound that God said that to you. Because His words are life. The words of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, that's life. Every word contains life. And so we don't want to throw that out. We don't want to, that's what we want to continue to grow in and press into. Developing a personal, intimate, two-way communication, relationship, daily walk with the Lord. Okay, and then 3, grow as a healthy family of God. That's one thing I feel like the Lord's impressed upon us, grown us, is this idea of being family, being the family of God, living that out. And not just a family God, being a healthy family that communicates honestly. That's one thing I'm learning, is communicate more honestly with people, with love, in love, but being honest in the communication. So those are some of the old wine that's matured that we want to continue build upon. That's some of the old wine we're going to retain, okay? But what are the old wineskins? What are the things that maybe we need to toss? Those things that has served their purpose, but we don't want to carry those things into, right, this new place. Well, in Matthew chapter 9, that chapter where Jesus talks about you don't put, right, new wine into old wineskins, Jesus, in that whole chapter, He was exposing old wineskins. The old wineskins of the religious system, the religious leaders of the time. In the beginning of that chapter, He declared a paralyzed man forgiven of sins. And it says the religious leaders, the religious teachers were saying, that's blasphemy. How can someone forgive sins? And He, to demonstrate that He has the authority to do that, Jesus heals the paralyzed man, demonstrating His authority. It's a new wine. It's not this religion of doing things to appeasing God, jumping through hoops, satisfying these things. Jesus says, I'm here now. It's new wine. And He was completely changing their perceptions, their theology, their paradigm. And then Jesus calls Matthew the tax collector to follow him. And it says that as he did that afterwards, he had a party, a dinner party at Matthew's house where there were all these other tax collectors, and then it says, and sinners. Right? It doesn't describe what these people are, but it's enough to know that they were just described as sinners. Tax collectors and sinners, and it says Jesus was eating and drinking with them. And then it says, this is what the religious leaders said about that. They said, why is your teacher eating with such scum? That's from the New Living Translation. They said, why is he eating with those scum? And then Jesus says, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, or those that think they're healthy that need a doctor. It's those that are sick. Jesus was changing their perception. They thought that they can be right with God. They thought they could be righteous out of their own strength, ability, obedience. And Jesus says, no. No. You're pointing your finger at those scum. You got three fingers pointing back at you. Right? Righteousness does not come by your own efforts, by your own obedience. Righteousness comes from me. He was shifting their paradigm. He's throwing out the old wineskin of their religious system, the old covenant. He's saying, it's fulfilled in me. And then Jesus raises a little girl from the dead, blowing their minds, shifting their paradigm, changing their perception, saying, I am the author of life. No life. You cannot have life without me. I'm the resurrection and the life. And I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to raise this little girl from the dead. Jesus was totally flipping their perceptions, their understandings, their mindset, their expectations, their way of doing things. Why did he do that? Because God didn't want their sacrifice. He wanted their hearts. And that's something, as we go to this new facility and we start stepping into God's calling, that's a word that the Lord's been putting on our hearts. It's wholehearted surrender. Because we all have parts of our hearts that we keep hidden, that we keep locked in the closet, that we keep in the dark. And he wants all of us, because God is a jealous God. He wants all of us. He wants our whole heart. And so that's why Jesus came, and that's why he was revealing the kingdom. You know, last week, Pastor Ross, he gave just a really good message on the kingdom of renewing our minds. I thought he gave an excellent message. And it was moving, and all about moving from a worldly mindset to a kingdom mindset. And as we move forward into this new facility, it's going to be about shifting our mindsets, growing and maturing, and things will be different. There will be different things happening, and you know, I'm sure you're going to think or feel like, we never did that before, or this is the way we do things, or I've heard this phrase before, this is the catalyst way. Some of those catalyst ways, old wineskin. We have to do things, and we will be called to do things differently. Okay? And part of it, part of the old wineskins, is setting aside old, childish, immature, fleshly ways of doing things. I'm going to show a video clip here, and I showed this at the retreat last year, and it's Francis Chan. I love this clip, because Francis Chan, he just speaks the truth, right? He just speaks the truth. He don't care. He just speaks the truth, and it just goes to the heart. So let's watch this video, and it's about God's wanting us to mature in Him. Okay, let's watch.
There's this passage in Hebrews. Does this look weird? Well, so does this. When people come in and this is the only time they eat. Okay, this looks weird. I should not be drinking out of a baby bottle, right? That's the same thing Paul says in Hebrews. He says, the writer of Hebrews, which I think is Paul, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in a word of righteousness since he's a child. Paul says some of you should have been teachers by now. Like, you've been going to these gatherings and Pastor Peter's like, come up here, come up here. Come here, suck on this bottle. Let me feed you. And for some of you, this is the only time you eat all week long. You don't even know how to pick up this book and feed yourself. That's what we're trying to do, is get you to memorize some verses, get in this book. So many of you have never even read this book. You come here and go, well, I'd rather come and have Peter feed me. And I'm just telling you, that's weird. That looks really weird for him to stay in here every week. Come on up, come on up. And then you complain to him, you didn't feed me enough. And Paul says, are you kidding me? Is this really going on? Is this really going on? You should have been a teacher, and you're up there complaining that he didn't give you the little baba for long enough. You didn't feed me enough, Pastor. I've heard this my whole life. You come in, you're like, oh, I didn't get enough from the worship. I didn't get enough from the sermon. He didn't feed me enough. Like, your sermon wasn't good enough. It's like, no, you know why you're unhappy? It's your fault. It's you. You suck. You do. You come and you suck out of this bottle every week. And you suck all the life out of me. And it's still not enough. And you start sucking from everyone else. Have you ever considered the reason why you're not happy is because you suck? You do. You suck the life out of people. That's the reason why your marriage sucks, is because you suck. You don't have enough. God says in Jeremiah 2, he goes, don't you understand? I'm a spring of living water. But you're going and you're trying to dig these cisterns and trying to get life from all of these other people, and it doesn't hold water. But I'm a spring of living water. That's why David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't suck. I shall not suck. I don't want from other people. He goes, in fact, I've got this cup and it's like spilling over onto everyone around me. Why? Because I'm so fulfilled in this. Look, other people are never gonna give you the life you expect. Some of you suck as parents. You're not fulfilled in Christ, so you need something from your kids. Some of you guys suck as children. That you haven't found your own relationship with God, so you demand so much from your parents. And so what happens when we are empty people? We start trying to leech from other people. And this is what causes the divorces. This is what causes all the broken families. And then everyone comes in the church wanting something for themselves. And then we end up with a church that sucks.
Preach, Francis! Preach it, man! this time for Catalyst represents graduation. It's an upgrade. It's graduation day. And that's part of the old wineskin. This is a huge shift. God calling us, saying, you've 18 years. You've been in this incubator. Now go fly. Go fly. It's time. It's time. It's the Kairos moment. It's the Kairos moment for our church, where the Holy Spirit is moving in a specific way with a group of people to advance his kingdom. That's where we're at. So if that's the old wineskin, what's the new wine? God has been preparing for us something awesome. An awesome move of God. On Friday, Kyle and I Zoomed with Pastor Peter Hahn. Some of you know Pastor Peter. He's been in our church many years. I really like, we Zoom call with him monthly, once a month. I really like talking to Pastor Peter because he's in Korea now, but he's all over the world. He's all over the world, interacting, seeing what's happening in the world, connected with Christians all over the world, Christian leaders, people that I know, some of the people I know and respect. And this last time we Zoom called with him, he was telling us about some of the things he experienced this past month or last month when he was in Southeast Asia, Solomon. It just blew my mind of how God is moving. And he was just like, he goes, very God, he goes, God is moving in an unbelievable way right now. He's gonna, in fact, he felt like, because he heard what's happening in our church, and he goes, I need to come to the U.S. So he's gonna be here in a couple weeks. He's gonna share some of what God's doing in the world. You know, we think things are crazy, things are society, what's going on, right? All this tension. In the midst of that, God is moving. He has his agenda that he's putting forth. And so God is moving in some incredible ways. You know what one of my prayers has always been, what's been on my heart since we started Catalyst? I said, God, you know, you move like a river. I go, Lord, I just want to be our church to be in the flow of the river. I don't want us ever to be sitting on the banks and the river's going by and we miss it. We don't have to be in the front of the river. We don't have to be right in the center of the river. Just get us in the river so we're flowing with what your Spirit's doing. And I fully believe God has honored that. And he's honoring that with what he's doing in our church now. And it lines up with what God is doing in the world today. It's incredible how much God has been doing this year, just with us. Last year, God told me at the end of the year, just in one of my devotional times, and he spoke it several times, he says, okay, Barry, right now, I'm going to take the wheel. I'm going to take the wheel of Catalyst. And he told me many, many times, he said, I'm taking the wheel, so you just stay close. You just stay close. You walk humbly with me. You walk humbly with me. You stay close. You listen for my spirit. And when I prompt you, just follow and obey. Just do what I ask you to do, but I'm taking the wheel. And God's been doing all these things in our church behind the scenes with this facility and other things. I mentioned in August we had this elder staff retreat. It was so powerful. It was so powerful what God did, because he challenged us to come into the light, to bring things to the light, to walk with him fully. And from the elders and the staff, we were sharing with one another, like, our stuff, openly, honestly. Stuff came out. Struggling with, you know, sexual sins, struggling with pornography, struggles with, someone shared about having had been sexually violated when this person was younger. A couple people shared that. Just different things. It just brought it to the light. Brought it to the light. And then for me, I shared about a month ago from that, about just breaking some things, repenting of some things, this false harmony thing. That's a couple messages about a month ago. And then to follow up on that, in September, we called anyone that was in a leadership role in our church, we invited them to come to this leadership gathering. And the staff led the sessions. I just had a small part in it. The staff, they led the sessions. They just shared what they had shared, some of the stuff of what they had shared at the elders and staff retreat. They were sharing just honestly, openly. And then the leaders got into small groups, and in those small groups, they were just sharing, opening their hearts, sharing their stuff. And you know what? We heard many, many people share, you know, from their small groups, not what they shared, because that we wanted to keep that confidential, but the small group leaders would say, you know, these people shared, they had never shared this with anyone else in their whole life. There was just open transparency, honesty. And then we did this exercise where Jerry led it, and he had us split into two groups. There was like 50 people there, so it was like 25-25 across the room. And then he said, I'm just going to read these different statements. If this applies to you, I want you to walk across the room. And he called this, what do you call it? It was not a guilt trip, but a grace trip. And when you walked across the room, the people on the other side, if they were still standing, just to give you a hug and an embrace. And he went over, his list had all these different things on it. You feel like you've been a bad parent. You've had thoughts of suicide before. You've had drug addictions or addictions to, you know, you've struggled with, you know, infidelity. You've deal with depression and anxiety. It was just the whole gamut. Let me tell you, on many of them, the majority of the people were walking. Because it was things you were experiencing now or you have experienced in the past. People, the majority were walking. After a while, it was like a parade, right? You know, because we all have stuff. We're all in the same boat. We all have stuff. But God's calling us to bring that stuff to the light. Deal with your stuff. Take responsibility and bring it to the light. Because you know what happens when people who are broken bring things to the light and bring things to the Lord? When God moves in their life, He gets the glory. It's all about Him. It's all about the grace and forgiveness and the love and the truth and the redemption that's in Jesus. And I was really struck. I was just a mess at that retreat and those gatherings. And I thought, this is what people out there, they want to see. They don't want to see the surface. Yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm doing good. I don't need anything. They want to see people who are openly talk about and they're addressing the issues that they have hidden inside. And they want to see, you mean that person is struggling with the same or has struggled with the same things I struggled with, and they are experiencing the love of God? They hear God speak to them every day. They're pursuing God with their whole heart. What is that? And I thought, yeah, if that's Lord, if that's where you're taking us, if we could get there, if we could walk in the light like that and walk in your love and grace and people see that, be revival, be transformation, and the Lord will get the glory. Let me just close with this. I'm just going to close with this video here. As we confess our areas of brokenness, guess who shines through? Jesus. God's love. God's grace. God's forgiveness. God's life. God's glory. That's a picture of being a city on a hill. That's a picture of walking in the light, living in the light, and letting the light shine through our lives. So this is my last picture for you. Having brave hearts, wholehearted surrender, freedom. So Catalyst, it's our time. Kairos moment. So let's go. Let's go. Let me just close. I'm just going to close with a word of prayer. Lord, I'm just overwhelmed by how good and gracious and kind you are. Lord, that you have prepared this moment, this divine Kairos moment for our church family at this time in history, with all that's happening in the world and with society. You've prepared us and you're calling us to step in. Lord, to step in. Lord, to set aside childish things, to grow and mature. And part of that is not hiding, not putting on masks, being real and authentic for the world to see. So Lord, that in our imperfections, in our sin, in our brokenness, you, the light of the world, will shine. So Lord, do your thing. Just do your thing. You got the wheel, Lord. Help us just to stay close, walk humbly with you, God. Listen for your voice and obey when you prompt. And then let you unfold what you've planned for us. So thank you, Lord. So awesome. You're so good. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.